AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. WGCH New Center Time is 7:51. It is the second Thursday of the month, and that means State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich joins me. Representative, good morning. Happy New Year. How are you today?
Good morning and Happy New Year to you, Tony. I'm doing quite well. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the legislative session just underway about 8 days ago. Your thoughts and on the opening, the governor's state of the state, and also moving forward, some things you'd like to see get done.
Okay. Well, frankly, Tony, it was a great day. You know, we saw some of the divisiveness you've seen in Washington in the swearing-in. We were up at the Capitol for the opening session to get sworn in. And then we enacted a couple of operational laws on how to deal with the session. Those passed. But, you know, there was an unsightly group of people protesting as we went outside the Capitol building to get sworn in. You know, and you know, it's a democracy. Everyone has a right to their opinions. But, you know, the commentary was as if we had stolen the election. It was upsetting and disturbing that people are living in alternate realities. So that I felt disappointed on. Generically, I'm pretty optimistic on the session. The numbers on the back of the stimulus plans we've enacted out of Washington look much more constructive than where we were 6 months ago in terms of the deficit. We may close out the fiscal year, which ends in June, in a much more solid note. In fact, yesterday, I know you earlier in the week had an interview with Matt Ritter, so I did the introduction yesterday into the Retired Men's Association of Greenwich, and the commentary, the performance, the presentation by Matt Ritter was overwhelmingly positive. I want to salute him on that, you know, showing the depth of character and his knowledge. But the numbers looked pretty good, so I'm feeling optimistic on where we are in the state.
And by the way, you had very nice things to say about you as well.
Ah. You know, but honestly, you know, I worked on Wall Street. I've dealt with many powerful figures. I wasn't necessarily one of them, but I was a party to those people and persona. And a measured and thoughtful person in that leadership role is much appreciated, because these are trying times. You know, you see what we see on the national scale. So you want people who are measured, who do a great job. So I'm very encouraged there. In terms of legislative session, I'm kind of conflicted on where we stand. I think we're in relatively good shape. I'm not too worried about where we are on measures. I think the two issues are obviously the fiscal. That depends on both tax receipts as they stand today and also potential state and local government assistance that may come now out of Washington given the change of the administration. We could leave us in a pretty good position. And I think in front of that, where I'm seeing a lot of the anxiety and calls from my constituents on a regular basis, is all related to the vaccine and the rollout of the inoculations.
All right.
So whereas last year we were doing all of our business providing people with information about the virus, the hospitalizations, the positivity, there's an overwhelming preponderance of interest now in vaccine accessibility. The notice and the decision, I believe, comes out on Thursday when the commission's reports and decision by the governor are made. And I expect, and the proposal now is to drop the vaccination age to 65. That's already been in the press, but it hasn't been official. And the registry should start soon. And then the next question is, what are the doses available for people to get vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a good point, because I know a lot of people are asking, all right, how do I find out about this? I mean, you know, I kind of think generically you're not going to get into December and not realize that, you know, that you could have gotten a shot. But it's kind of the details of it. And, you know, I was hearing a story about somebody who's 75 signed up. This is in New York State, that they're waiting until April before they can get their shot. So do you think this is going to be kind of a situation where there's going to be a long wait for these types of, for the vaccines for people?
Yeah, well, this is a question, and this is where I want to be very cautious and caution the public, because it strikes at the credibility of government, and it's not the credibility of government. I mean, rolling out the informational flow is our responsibility. This was an endeavor by the federal government and the pharmaceutical companies. So the first go-round on a per capita basis, the state of Connecticut received about 210,000, 220,000 doses. They've administered one of the higher numbers of any of the states. We're fifth in the country in the distribution of the vaccine, and that's about 110, I want to say 115. A few of those are double doses. So the real question, but, you know, if 210,000 doses is going to give double doses of 100 to 110,000 people. So if you, depending on how you want to slice and dice it, we either have a vaccine for 4% of the population or 8% of the population, you know, maybe single dose 8, single dose 7 so far. So the question is going to be the next group of people who have approved in 1B, category 1B, is how many people does that represent and how many doses are going to be delivered by the pharmaceutical companies and then administered here. So the first go-round, we got 220. That's roughly, you know, 8% if you use the single dose, 4% if it's double. If the next go-round has 700 people who are eligible to receive the vaccine in Category 1B, the question is, you know, going to be, do we get 200, 300, or 400,000 doses?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be administration of how we get the inoculations out, but how many doses are there available? This may take us through April, May, June, and potentially then into the next category of 1C will go even longer. Yeah. That's a supply chain question, and it's not. And so the government is doing an okay job. The question is, do we have enough vaccine to distribute? The only really good news is coming down the pike is there is a non-refrigerated version that's in the final stages of approval from Johnson & Johnson. And I'm not sure what their production levels are, but the combination of both the fact that it requires either zero or low refrigeration numbers and a third provider of a vaccine getting into the production phase could be a game changer in terms of the timeline. So these are all in flux.
All right. Representative Meskers, we'll end it there. We'll get into some of the committee work and more of the guts of what's going on in the session next month. Thanks very much for your time this morning. Take care.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.